Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Central Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen.
Our scripture before the sermon will come from John chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said unto him, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to the feast, for my time has not yet fully come." When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. You may be seated.
It is great to be able to be here today. It is an honor to be able to open God's holy word and share it with you. So if you've not already done so, if you'll just take your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 7. It's been a wonderful time of worship thus far, and I want to thank all of our worship leaders who do such a magnificent job and capable job, and they prepare, and we do appreciate them. After the Bible class hour is over, my family, we're going to be going to Sevierville, Tennessee, for polishing the pulpit. It started Friday. We're going to join that in progress this afternoon, and we will come back on Friday. I know James Andrews is there, Peggy, the Collies, the Benavides, and so the others of you might be going up, and so we just solicit your prayers. It is amazing to me how fast time passes. Time is filled with swift transition. Did you catch the song that we just sang? And that is true. You know, I was thinking the other day, I said, you know, this is the end of August. Another summer has slipped away. Where did the summer go? What happened to it? You know, I thought it just seemed like a couple of weeks ago that we were handing out dictionaries and Bibles to our graduates here and telling them how much we appreciate them and way to go, good job for all of their accomplishments. We were talking about camp, and the kids were just filled with excitement about going to Camp Naughty. We were having meetings planning for Family Bible Week. You yourselves had plans for your own personal vacations. And now all of a sudden, it is gone. I must confess to you that summer is not my favorite season. I like the one coming up. However, to be honest, when summer draws nigh, there is a degree of sadness that comes to my heart. Because Tammy reminds me, she says, you know, the kids are growing up so very quickly, and it won't be very long that they will be working full time. They will be out on their own, and these summer outings, these summer vacations, the things that we do together won't be the same as they are now. And those of you who have families who have grown up already, you know that this happens so very quickly, and all of a sudden, the nest is empty. Perhaps the summer's end is a reminder that the years are passing oh so quickly. You know, you and I have been given 24 hours in a day. And it's not even productive to talk about time management because time can't be managed. It goes on whether we like it or not. The problem is self-management. There are few things as more important than time. But you know what? It is often wasted and spent on those things which have no value whatsoever. And sometimes we as Christians are guilty of wasting time. And if you and I are not careful, we will end up living our lives according to someone else's schedule other than the one God has given us to live. Do you find yourself walking through this journey on earth, trying to make your way the very best that you can, hoping to accomplish something good at the end of it? Well, my friends, I want to tell you today that there is a better way than that. Today in our text, Jesus is going to give us a clue about better living. John in chapter 7 is going to confront us with the schedule of our Lord. Jesus is going to tell us in chapter 7, verse 6, that there are two different ways to tell time. Two different time zones, if you will. Now look in our text, and I want you to go to John 7, and I want you to look in verse 6 at what Jesus had to say. He is talking to his brothers, his half-brothers, and he says, "Look, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready." You see, Jesus had been in Galilee before chapter 7. And in Galilee, he had concluded his doings there, his ministry, his preaching, and his teaching. But he was going to stay there a while longer. You know, when he began the ministry there, I mean, you ought to have seen the crowds. They were throwing around him everywhere. Sometimes he was so crowded, almost suffocating, that he would get into a boat and he would push out into the water and he would teach from the pulpit, his boat. But that was while there was free food. Now Jesus had talked to them very plainly. The nature of his teaching was being more and more understood. And you know what? The crowds were dwindling. They began to leave Jesus until it was just Jesus, a few disciples, and his brothers. And Jesus did not want to leave Galilee at that time, so he stayed there about 6 more months. If you look in verse 1, it tells us very plainly that Jesus, the reason he stayed there and did not go on to Judea is because the Jews sought to kill him, and he knew that it was not the time for him to die. That time had not arrived, and Jesus was living according to God's schedule. And so it is this point that his brothers approach him. Now remember that the text says that his brothers did not believe. They did not believe. They will believe, but at this point they didn't. If you go to Acts 1, you see that the brothers believe. But here they don't believe, and so they come to Jesus and they come with a suggestion, which would prove to be a very dangerous course of action. And this is what they're saying. They say, you know what? They're saying, Jesus, you know, here you are in Galilee. All the crowds have left you. You are alone. And what you need to do is you need to get down to Jerusalem just as fast as you can before your ministry goes up in smoke. They said, Jesus, what you need to do is you need to go down to Jerusalem and you need to drum up some response. That's exactly what they were saying. And go back to our text and look in verse 3. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe. Now John is going to tell us that Jesus is going to reply to their suggestion, and it's going to be rather pointed and rather emphatic. To put it the way that you and I would say it, the jargon of today is he told them straight. He told them exactly like it was. And then Jesus said, look, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am, here it is, not yet going up to the feast, for my time has not yet fully come. Well, what John tells us is the brothers, they went on to Jerusalem and Jesus stayed a while longer before he himself went up. But listen, what did Jesus mean when he told us that, look, my brothers have one timetable and I have another timetable? There are two different time zones, if you will. I've already stated that his brothers did not believe in him. And that there was schedule, their schedule was just any time. But Jesus lived according to a different time program. You and I, as Christians today, in the year 2010, live according to a different time program than the world's. Their time is any time, but not so with you and I. We live according to a different time zone. A different clock is ticking for us. And we have to understand that if we hope to accomplish that which the Lord has set out for your life and for my life. But I want you to notice that he said, look, those people who do not believe, their time is always ready. But Jesus Christ himself was living according to a predetermined schedule set by the Father. Now, if you will study the life of Jesus, what you will discover, my friends, is this, is that Jesus Christ lived his whole life on schedule. Do you realize that? I mean, he was born on schedule. He died on schedule. He was resurrected on schedule. He ascended back to the Father in Acts 1 on schedule. Isn't that amazing? He was all, as a matter of fact, if you go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, it says, look, when the time had fully come that his Father sent him into the world, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. You know what that is telling us? It is telling us that Jesus was always on schedule, just at the right time. Jesus had a schedule that came down from his Father in heaven. In the Gospel of John, 10 different times, it reminds us that Jesus was watching the clock. You see, 5 times, Jesus says this in the Gospel of John, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. Chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 7, verse 6. Verse 8, verse 30. Chapter 8, verse 20. Over and over and over again, the time is not right. And then 5 more times in the gospel, we are told, my time has come. My time has come. The time is exactly right. Do you realize that Jesus was on the most important mission ever? And every move was blueprinted from heaven above. You know, in Philippians chapter 2 tells that Jesus voluntarily humbled himself obediently. He was submissive to the Father. Do you realize that? You say, Paul, to what extent did he have a schedule? It's so very interesting. It is so detailed because if you go to John chapter 12, verse 50, he says, look, I speak as the Father has told me. If you go to John chapter 5, verse 19, he says, look, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. So everything that he spoke, everything that he did was from his Father in heaven. It is amazing. He was submissive to his Father. And so today, to help us get ready for this fall season which is upon us, I know there's many going back to school, and there's things that are in the weeks and days ahead of you that you are going to have to accomplish. All that is around the corner, what I want to do today is I want to share with you some principles of Christ to help you make it through the schedule of your life. I want to look at some instances when Jesus referred to His own schedule. I want to share with you some principles for life that I pray that will encourage your own heart as you look forward to the days, weeks, and months ahead. You say, well, Paul, how do I keep it all together? How is it that I stay on course? How do I really make my life count for something? Well, let's go to John chapter 2 to begin with. Take your Bibles and turn back to John chapter 2. Now, you remember this account is when Jesus was in Cana. He was at the wedding feast and He turns the water into wine. And His mother is there and she is talking to Him at the wedding party just about the time that the wine has run out. And so Jesus is going to say something to her that is very, very interesting. And let's read it together in verse 4. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." My hour has not yet come. What hour was He talking about? The hour that He would be subject to the needs of man that would culminate in Him going to the cross. My hour has not yet come. Mom, I am on a schedule. Did you hear that? I'm on a schedule. And so the first point and principle that I want to share with you today, that is, if you are living according to God's schedule, nothing can distract you. All right? Nothing can distract you. Jesus knew His purpose, and that His purpose was not in getting involved with the mundane things that His mother was thinking about. So here He is teaching His mother. He is saying, listen, I live according to a different time schedule, to a higher level. I have a divine timetable, if you will. Mary, you cannot distract me from my goal. You know, and that is one of the greatest challenges of my life. As I have set goals for myself. And the goals that I set, I believe, I look at them and I say, you know what, these are obtainable. There's something that I can reach. They're possible. They're plausible. But you know what? What happens to me is I often do not take in consideration the static between the transmitter and the receiver. The impact that comes through the interruptions of life. And it is amazing to me that Jesus never was impacted by the interruptions in life. It never threw Him off schedule. You remember when Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, their brother, remember they sent word to Jesus and said, "Lord, the one whom you love is sick," in John chapter 11. And the most interesting thing is said there in John chapter 11, verse 6. He says, "So when he heard the word that he was sick, he stayed there 2 more days in the place where he was." That's what verse 6 says. It's amazing, isn't it? Jesus had a plan, He had a schedule, and He stuck to that schedule. And so He knew that He was going to raise Lazarus. He knew everything was going to turn out right, but He still had a schedule. I want to ask you today, are you on schedule? Is there something distracting you from the schedule that your Father would have you to live by? I was in one of our sweet sister's homes this week visiting. She's one of our seniors and just a godly, godly woman. And she said something to me that stuck with me. She said, "You know what?" She said, when I get up in the morning, What I have on my mind is I am going to read the Word of God. And she told me how many chapters that she read every day. And she says, I have made a promise to myself and to the Lord that I will read no other material until I have read His Word first. She said, someone may call me and say, hey, did you see what was in the newspaper today? She says, no, I hadn't read the Bible yet. I like that, don't you? There's a godly lady that is not going to get distracted. Sometimes we allow the urgent things in life to crowd out the most important. Jesus did not do that. And we must not either. We must be on schedule. The second principle I want to share with you this morning, that if we are living according to God's schedule, nothing can, listen to this, destroy us. Nothing can destroy us. Chapter 7, let's go to chapter 7, our text. But I want to go over to verse 30. And then let's go to 8:20. Now these old Jews, they hated Jesus. They wanted to kill Him. And they often tried. Therefore, they sought to take Him, but no one laid a hand on Him. Why? Why did they not lay a hand on Him? Why were they not able to kill Him? Because look what the text says. Because His hour had not yet come. 8 verse 20. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on Him. Why? For His hour had not yet come. They could not destroy Jesus because His schedule would not be violated. It was determined by the Father, and nobody was going to be able to move it. When my family was smaller in number and a bit younger, I would on occasion be asked to preach in a gospel meeting or perhaps speak in a youth rally in another state. And I would accept the invitation. But as that time would draw near for me to go and have to leave, I begin to worry. I begin to kind of feel all anxious inside and worry about this and think, you know, what happens if I'm gone and I'm gone for a week and someone breaks into my house and something happens to my family? What am I going to do? What happens to me if I'm out on the road and I'm in a wreck and I'm taken from my family? What's going to happen? And I begin to worry about that. And I was stressing out over it. But then I began to think about, you know what? I'm walking in the light. I am seeking to do the will of my Father. Then I begin to think about verses like Romans 8:28 that He's promised He's going to work all things out for my good if I love Him and I'm faithful to Him. Hebrews 13:5 that He will never leave me nor forsake me. And then I thought, you know what? God is on my side. And you know what? I don't want to be on planet Earth one moment longer than His plan is finished with me. If God's plan is done with me on planet Earth, I'm ready to go. Because I know that He is going to take care of me. Jesus knew that. And so they could not destroy Him because His hour had not yet come. Principle number 3. If we are living according to God's schedule, nothing can discourage us. Nothing can discourage us. Let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 27. Jesus says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. You know, Jesus' statement there in John chapter 12 is a prelude to the cross. There is inward suffering already, rejection, torture, there's grief. He who knew no sin would become sin so that he could save the world. It was at that moment Jesus did not say, "And Father, what shall I choose?" He said, "And what shall I say?" Jesus bowed to the will of His Father when He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus looked death fully in the face and He bowed to it. He bowed to it. He said, for this purpose, I came into this world. Jesus was not discouraged because He was confident that this was a part of God's plan for His life. And you and I, as we walk with the Lord and we do not stray to the right, we do not stray to the left, and that His Word is our meditation day and night, and we go through some difficulty. Listen to me. We can say with confidence that my God understands, He cares, and He is involved. And as a result of this difficulty, He is going to lift me up to a higher spiritual plane. We can say that if we are living according to God's schedule. He's our Father. He sent His Son to die for us. He is on our side. He loves us. No need to be discouraged. And then finally, principle number 4. When you are living according to God's schedule, I like this one, nothing can defeat you. You say, "Well, Paul, where do you find that principle?" Well, let's go over a few more chapters to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Let's look in verse 1. Now, Jesus is praying to the Father, this high priestly prayer of Jesus. And He says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may also glorify You." So here, Jesus is going to end His labor of life and death. Once and for all, He is going to become that sacrificial lamb for the sins of His people. And you know what? The sun is going to refuse to shine. The veil is going to be rent. The earth is going to quake. Death is going to be swallowed up in victory. And what looked like total, complete, utter defeat became one of the greatest moments of glory this world has ever, ever known. Don't you know that the people walking by the cross that day on that Friday, looking up those who hated Him, saying, at last, I never thought it would happen. But we're finally rid of this man. We have overcome. We have won. Maybe they were putting their hands up like this. We will never, ever hear from this one again. So what looked like total and complete failure and defeat for Jesus? You know why it wasn't? Listen, Jesus was on schedule. And God knew it. And what looked like defeat was one of the greatest moments of glory ever. Isn't it true that that thing in the back of your mind that you think about sometimes, oh, it's the thing that you fear and you fear the most. The thing that you believe is going to keep you from accomplishing the dreams and goals of your life. Maybe it's that old cancer word that we hear about. Maybe it's something else in your life. But you know what is so often true? God can take that which we fear the most and He can use it for His glory through us. Isn't that true? Listen, if you are walking faithfully to God in response to His Word and His commands, and you are walking obediently. Listen, nothing can defeat you. Nothing can defeat you. Because if you're living in that way, God is working through you each and every day. You know, when Jesus was tempted, He was driven into the wilderness, and old Satan, he did everything he could to abort the schedule of Jesus Christ. But the Lord would not let him do it. And do you know what happened at the end of the life of Christ? He said one of the most astounding things in chapter 17, verse 4. He said to His Father in that great prayer, "I have finished the work that You have given Me to do." You say, "But Paul, that's Jesus Christ." But didn't the Apostle Paul say something very similar to that? That "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Listen, my brother and sister, if we will stay faithful to the Lord and live according to His schedule, at the end of our lives, you know what we can say? "I have finished the work that You gave Me to do." Were there not still more sick people for Jesus to heal? Absolutely. More miracles to work? More teaching? Absolutely. But you know what? His work, His mission that God had planned for His life was over. And we're going to live our lives as faithfully as we know how until that moment. And then we can say, "The work that You gave Paul Owen to do on this earth, I have completed it. It is done." But the frustration that often enters and fills our hearts is when we begin to pile up all the things that other people want us to do. Listen, God has given us a choice. We can live by His schedule. Moms, that homework or help educating that child of yours, the washing of the clothes and the dishes and the fixing of the food, those mundane things that you do day in and day out are a part of God's schedule for your life. And then when you put that tired body in bed at night, you can look back at the end of that day and you say, "Lord, this day was Your day. I didn't do some things that other people wanted me to do. I didn't do some things that I wanted to do. But Lord, I did the things that You asked me to do." You see, we start out the day and we have that to-do list. What if you had a spiritual to-do list? You had the priorities of things that God wanted you to do that day, and you wrote them down in your devotional time. Wouldn't that be great? Things to accomplish for God each and every day. To stay on track, to stay on time, to stay on schedule. I want to be on schedule when this life of mine is over. Someone has written something, a little parable that I love. And it kind of summarizes what we have talked about today and where we want to find ourselves at the end of life. Hot sun, salty air, rhythmic waves. A little boy is on the beach. On his knees, he scoops and packs the sand with plastic shovels into a bright red bucket. He upends the bucket on the surface and lifts it. To the delight of the little architect, a castle tower is created. All afternoon, he will work spooning out the moat, packing the walls. Bottle tops will become sentries. Popsicle sticks will be bridges. A sandcastle will be built. Big city, big streets, rumbling traffic. A man in his office at his desk. He shuffles papers into stacks. He delegates assignments. As he cradles the phone on his shoulder, he punches the keyboard with his fingers. Numbers are juggled, contracts are signed, and much to the delight of the man, a profit is made. All his life, he will work formulating a plan, forecasting the futures. Annuities will be centuries, capital gains will be bridges, an empire will be built. Two builders, two castles, They have so much in common. They see nothing and make something. They are both diligent and determined. And for both, the tide will rise and the end will come. But that is where the similarities cease. For the boy sees the end coming, but the man does not. Watch the boy as the dusk approaches. Each wave slaps an inch closer to his creation. Every crest crashes closer than the one before. But the boy, he doesn't panic. He's not surprised. All day, the pounding waves remind him that the end is inevitable. He knows the secret of the surging. Soon, they will come and take his castle into the deep. The man, however, does not know the secret. He should. Like the boy, he is surrounded by rhythmic reminders, like weddings of children and deaths of parents. Days come and days go. Seasons ebb and seasons flow. Every sunrise, which becomes a sunset, whispers the secret: time is going to take your castle. So one is prepared and the other isn't. One is peaceful and the other panics. As the wave nears, the wise child jumps to his feet and he begins to clap. There is no sorrow, no fear, no regrets. He knew this would happen. He is not surprised. And when the great breaker crashes into his castle and his masterpiece is sucked into the sea, he smiles, he picks up his tool, he takes his father's hand, and he goes home. The grown-up, however, is not so wise. As the wave of years collapse on his castle, he is terrified. He hovers over the sandy monument to protect it. He blocks the waves from the wall he has made. Salt water soaked and shivering, he snarls at every incoming tide. This is my castle. He defies, but the ocean did not respond because it knows both to whom the sand belongs. Finally, the cliff of water mounts high above the man in his little empire. And just for a moment, he is shadowed by a wall of water. Then it crashes. His tiny towers of triumph crumble and disperse, and he is left on his knees, clutching muddy handfuls of yesterday. Only if he had known, only if he had listened, if only, but like most, he never does. You see, I, like you, want to be living according to my Father's schedule, to know that the end is going to come, to know that man is going to die, is appointed once that he is going to die. You have an appointment that you're going to have to keep. And then the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. So I want to say to you today, if there is something keeping you from being right with the Lord, something that you're holding on to, that you say, you know, this is my time, this is my schedule, Lord, you can't have it. Or maybe it's a fear of letting go. Can I say this with a great deal of certainty? Once you cross that River Jordan and you go from time to eternity, whatever it is that held you back, it will seem absurdly insignificant. So today, if there is something keeping you from obeying the gospel, from making your life right with the Lord, would you let go of that thing today and live the rest of your life on God's schedule? If you're not a Christian today, will you repent of your sins? Will you stand before this body today and say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins? Come in contact with that blood. The Lord Himself will add you to His family, the church. Will you come right now as we stand and as we sing?
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730. If you would like to contact the speaker, he can be reached at collie@westhuntsville.org. That's C-O-L-L-E-Y @westhuntsville.org.